Welcome to the Vision Church podcast. We pray that you're inspired by the teaching of the Word of God from Pastor Tyson Coughlin. If you've been blessed by the ministry of Vision Church and would like to support our ministry, you can do so by going to visionchurch.com and then selecting the Give tab. We want to thank you for checking in today. And now please prepare your heart for the Word of God.
If you have your Bible today, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. I feel like the last 3 weeks we've been starting in Genesis chapter 1. So again, I'm taking it easy on you rookies. Genesis is in the very beginning. So if you don't know where it is, just start turning. You'll be fine. The name of this morning's message is called Beware of the Woods. Look at your neighbor and tell them, Beware of the Woods. It's pretty good. I want to take a moment, like I do every week, to glorify the name of Jesus. This sermon, this message, it's not about me. It's not about a band or a church. We've gathered and assembled to lift up one name, and that's the name of Jesus Christ, which is the name above all names. So before I read to you from Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, I want to tell you a story really quickly. How many of you guys remember when you were in kindergarten? And the teacher would get you to all sit around, like Indian style, on the floor in a big circle, and you would go around taking turns telling what you were going to be when you grew up. Anybody remember that? Some of you might still do it. I don't know. I mean, it's amazing how even as a young child, we have an innate awareness that we were created for a purpose. And we're always searching to find out and to discover who we really are and who did God destine me to be. And so I remember one day I was playing this game, having this conversation with my cousins. We were like really little, elementary school, and we're going around at my grandma's house, and we're talking about what we're going to be when we grow up, you know, and everybody's trying to one-up the next person. And so one of my cousins is like, I'm going to be a policeman. And we're like, okay, cool. And then the other one is like, I'm going to be a chemical engineer. I'm going to be a scientist. And we're like, whoa, I don't even know what that is, but cool. Sounds like you get rich doing that. And then it came to me, and I was like, I'm going to be a stand-up comedian. All right, I was shooting real high, okay? The bar was real high, okay? And clearly that didn't work because y'all only laugh at me, not with me. So I was totally misguided even as a child. But then we got to my last cousin. His name was Steven. Steven is a joker. But anyway, we got to Steven and we asked him, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he says this, I want to be a trash man. And we're like, why do you want to be a trash man? You know, nothing, no hating, we're not throwing shade. Why do you want to be a trash man? He says, because they get to ride on the back of a truck all day. That's awesome, right? So I thought that was pretty cool, pretty intelligent, pretty good logic. But anyway, this point, the whole moral of that story is to tell you that we are designed and we are created, even from a very early age, to be obsessed with our purpose, to ask ourselves the question, who am I? Who did God create me to be? When God breathed the breath of life into me, what did he have in mind? And he sees my end from the beginning. God, what did you purpose for my life? And the reality is that many of us have grown up, but we've still never answered that question. Many of us might be 25, 35, 40, maybe even be 75, and you still don't know the answer to your purpose. You're still asking the question, who am I and what was I intended to do? Many people in our world today find their purpose. They seek purpose through their career, through climbing the corporate ladder. Many people seek to find their purpose through relationships, maybe even through their children. Some parents still are living vicariously through their children. Yo, you're going to do that. You're going to play Major League Baseball because I got cut from junior high, but you're going to make it, right? So we're like living vicariously even through those around us, because the truth is that all of us are still trying to discover and answer the age-old question, why was I created? What is my purpose? Some people find their purpose or they seek it in the ministry. Some try to acquire great sums of wealth to fulfill their purpose. And while all of that is nice and good, and I'm not here to preach against all those things, but the truth is that none of those things are your ultimate purpose. You were created and designed for something much higher. When God fashioned you, the Bible says that you were fearfully and you were wonderfully made. God never creates anything or anybody without a purpose, a specific function to be lived out in the earth. And this morning, I want to talk to you about what your purpose really is. Because the truth is that if we get our life out of alignment and we seek purpose, we seek fulfillment, we seek our identity in other things, it will lead to confusion and frustration, and we will look at life and be disenchanted because it is not what we believed or hoped it could be. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and I'm going to show you that God actually, in the very beginning, tells you point blank what you were created for. He tells you very plainly. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Verse 28, and God blessed them. Now watch, right here it is. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Genesis chapter 1 tells us that when God formed man from the dust of the ground and he breathed the breath of life into man, the first thing that God declares and demands over creation, over mankind, is he says, be fruitful and multiply. Now, that's what I say to you guys about every other Sunday, because you need to be, you married folk need to be fruitful and multiply and populate the kids' church, all right? Kelsey needs some more kids back there to take care of. Plus, they're way cuter. They're the cutest members. So, okay, but when we hear fruitful and multiply, that's what we think. We think populating the nursery, all right? But it means so much more than that. God, when he looked at his creation after his very image and likeness, he declares over them, he speaks to them, be fruitful and multiply. This is your highest purpose. This is the highest form of the human experience. This is what you were made for. Above everything else, you were created and designed to be fruitful and multiply. Look at your neighbor with a little attitude and tell him you better be fruitful and multiply. Tell him like you mean it. You better be fruitful and multiply. All right, turn with me really quickly. Y'all are saying way more than that. Y'all are saying way more than that. All right, turn with me to John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Now, I hear you. When you read that passage, be fruitful and multiply, you're like, okay, great. But that's kind of abstract. That could mean a lot of things, right? It's a metaphorical terminology that could be interpreted a million different ways. And you say, well, preacher, I need more direction than that. I need more detail than that. Well, glad you asked. Here we go. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, I believe this is a continuation of the very same theme, be fruitful and multiply. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they'll produce even more. If you have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches, and those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch that withers. That's all I want to read right there from John chapter 15. So when God says over creation, I want you to be fruitful and I want you to multiply, he's not just talking about have a lot of babies and populate the nursery. He's actually saying something far greater. He's saying that the only way for you to be fruitful and for you to multiply is to be connected to me as the source of life all the days of your life. When God is looking at Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he is saying to them, you are created to know me and to make me known in the earth. Your highest and greatest function on planet earth is to be connected to the source all the days of your life. The greatest purpose that you will ever fulfill in life is not being known by man, but being known by God. We were created to know him, and if you're thankful for a relationship with Jesus, I just wish somebody would get hype with me and bless his name. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. There's only one way to be fruitful, and that is to be connected to the source. Jesus said, if you abide in me, you will be very fruitful. It's his word. We were created to know God. Being connected to God is the main event, the highlight of our life. And the Bible actually says something else that's pretty epic. In Genesis 1, after it says, be fruitful and multiply, the very next thing Genesis 1 tells you is that when you are fruitful and you're connected to the source, then you will have dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and everything that crawls on the earth. It's metaphorically saying, when you are connected to me, you will be in position to have dominion over the air, the sea, the land. You are the conqueror. You are more than a conqueror through me who loved you. And I have already overcome the world. And if you're in me, the same spirit that raised me from the dead is alive in you. You want to be a conqueror? You want to be successful? You want to have dominion in the world? You want to be a great person? You want to leave a great legacy behind? It starts with connectivity to the Father. And in him, in relationship with him, flows dominion over the things of this life. Dominion flows from connection. Now, you might be thinking back to the title of this message called Beware of the Woods. You're like, well, how does this make any sense? Glad you asked. There are three hazardous things to your purpose and to your fruitfulness that I want to warn you about on this Sunday morning. There's three things that are hazardous to your fruitfulness and to your purpose that I want to warn you about. Number one, if you're taking notes, things that you need to beware of in the woods. Number one, beware of barren branches. Beware of barren branches. Now, I know you have no idea what I'm talking about, but you will in a second. Remember what we just read in John 15. It was a metaphor. Jesus said, God is the gardener. He's the vine dresser. I am the vine. In other words, Jesus is saying, I am the source. I'm the trunk of the tree. I'm the base. I'm the vine. And you and I are the branches that sprout out from the vine. We are the branches that sprout out from the source, and we are the ones that are to be fruitful. But if ever a branch becomes severed or disconnected from the source, if ever a branch becomes separated from the vine, it will become barren. And I want you to know something. There's one real deep and profound characteristic of a barren branch, a dead limb on a tree. It eventually falls, and it does damage to those nearby. I'm gonna preach to you so you get it. In other words, if you ever, you're the branch, right? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm the branch. You're the branch. If ever the branch becomes disconnected from the vine, if ever you fall out of fellowship with God, if ever you fall out of fellowship with his church, if ever you fall out of fellowship with the Bible, if you ever become disconnected or severed from the source, you will become a barren branch. You will become an unfruitful limb. And unfruitful limbs, barren branches, when they die and decay and they get all twisted and snarled up, they almost always come crashing down. They fall to the earth and they wreak havoc and damage and calamity to everything in its path. Nobody falls from grace just out of the blue one day randomly. You don't just fall into this deep, dark sin and temptation out of nowhere. No, 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 no. The fall had started long before it was ever manifest in your body. Before the sin ever came to the surface, it had begun many, many, many weeks, months, even years before. Disconnection precedes the fall. If you ever separate yourself from the Word, if you ever separate yourself from fellowship with God, if you're ever disconnected from the source, you will eventually fall and cause damage to those who are around you. But I want to remind you, Jesus said in John 15, the key to being fruitful is abiding in me. Did you read it? Did we read that? Jesus said, if you will abide in me, I will abide in you, and you won't just be fruitful, but the Bible says that you'll be very fruitful. Now, I want to just answer your question. How do I abide in Jesus? By the way, real quick, this concept of abiding in Jesus is not real, it's not a real hot topic, all right? It's not very flashy. It's not very exciting, abiding. You don't like, hey, what are you doing tonight? I'm abiding, right? No, like nobody said. So like abiding is not, it's not hot. It's not cool. It's not in. It's not the in thing to be preaching, but since when do we care about that? But anyway, that was supposed to be funny, and you know it was. But the key to abiding is really simple. You ready? There's three ways, and it's going to blow your mind. I'm serious. You're going to be like tweeting it. It's going to be crazy. All right? Number one, how do I abide in Jesus? How do I abide in the vine? Number one, you study the Bible. Real profound. All right? Notice I didn't say read the Bible. I said study it. The Bible does not tell you to read it. It tells you to study it to show yourself approved. There's a difference between reading it and studying it. All right, because you can read a newspaper, you can read the Charlotte Observer, but it goes right in one ear and out the other, or in one eye and out, whatever. But anyway, we're called to study it, all right? Number one, how do we abide in Jesus? How do we abide in him? We abide in his word. Number one, that's how we do it. Study the Bible. Number two, we pray. I know, I told you this would be deep. You pray. You pray. How do I abide in Jesus? How do I be connected to the vine? How can I assure that my life will be fruitful? Stay in his word. If you stay in his word will remain in you. There's an old saying that says, sin will keep you from the Bible, but the Bible will keep you from sin. Real old, not original, but it's true. The further you get disconnected from the source, you slowly begin the fall. Study the Bible. Number two, prayer. Now, look, prayer, I don't know what has happened over the centuries that the church has hyped prayer into this, like, scary, I don't know. Well, we've made it this extreme formality where we have to talk to God in the King James Version. Just talk to God. Just have a conversation with your Creator. He can hear you. He can see you. And don't play games with him. Be vulnerable. Be open. Be transparent with him. He can handle it right where you are. And I just want to reiterate this point. Prayer is you being vulnerable, having a vulnerable conversation with God. And the more open you are to God, the more transparent you are before him, the more breakthrough you will experience in your life. I remember early on in my Christian walk, I used to talk to God as though everything were 75 and sunny, even though there was chaos happening in my life. I would only talk to God about the good things, the pleasantries, all the nice things. But that kept me from breakthrough. God can see the unseen areas of your life. He can handle the truth. But when you confess it and you talk to him transparently, experience breakthrough and fruitfulness follows. And number three, how do I abide in Jesus? How do I abide in the vine? The local church. Yeah, it's convenient for me to say that because I'm a preacher, all right? But it's the truth. The local church is part of abiding in the vine. It is. You say, well, I don't know about that. I can serve God from my couch or whatever. Okay, well, I just want to remind you of a nice thought. The Bible calls the church the body of Christ. I know, mind blowing. So if you separate yourself from the body of Christ, might have a little bit of a problem, don't you think? All right, that's just free. All right, I'm going to show you another verse about being connected and abiding in Christ in the local church. Psalm chapter 92, verse 12. This is amazing. Psalm chapter 92, verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those that are planted in the house of our God, they will flourish in his courts. In other words, you cannot be fruitful if you are separated from the body. You got to be connected. Real fast, I was talking to somebody this week, giving them an illustration. Some of y'all like to church hop. Some people like to like treat church like a restaurant. Where are we going tonight? We're gonna go to this restaurant. I'm feeling Mexican. No, I'm feeling Italian. Where are we gonna go this Sunday? Well, what are we in the mood for? Okay, well, listen. The church is not there just for you to be a consumer. The local church is here for you to be a contributor. And if you're gonna be fruitful, it has to go both ways. You have to be able to receive and contribute. Two people clapping about that, but that's all right. I'll clap. By the way, when you clap at this church, you are not clapping for me. I don't deserve your applause, but we do respond to the word of God here. But I love the single clap. Y'all are messing with me. I know you are. But here's the example I was telling this person. We treat church like the flavor of the week. Well, I like that preaching today. Well, I had a rough Saturday night, so I'm going to go over here to this secret place today. I mean, I don't know. But it's kind of like this. It's like you plant a tree, and then you next Sunday you dig it up, and you go and you plant it over here. And then next Sunday you dig it up, and you go and you plant it over here. And then after a while, you just keep moving it around. You know, the same three, you know, get a nice healthy blend there. But then you start looking at the tree, and you start getting frustrated because it's not bearing fruit. Well, it's because you got to leave that thing planted. You got to let those roots grow down. That tree has got to be planted in order for it to flourish in the courts of our God. So if Vision Church isn't your style, if it's not your thing, if you don't get whatever here, that's okay. Go find somewhere where you can and get planted. Be committed. Be steadfast. Be stable. And in that commitment, you will flourish in the courts of our God. That's the word. It's the word. And by the way, fruit is a natural byproduct of connectivity to God. It's a natural byproduct. Real quick, while we're still on this, we need to beware of barren branches. We need to beware of being barren and unfruitful ourselves. A tree doesn't have to try to be fruitful. It just abides. And a lot of things that I hear people say all the time, well, I'm trying to be a better person. I'm trying to quit smoking, drinking, and running women. I'm trying. That was funny, you know it. I hear people all the time, and they're like, I'm trying to be a good person. I'm trying to be fruitful. I'm trying to be nice to the secretary at work because I'm under. Okay, but here's the deal. You trying, striving, straining, proving yourself, I don't know. That might just be part of the problem. Because the tree doesn't have to try to be fruitful. It abides and produces fruit naturally. In other words, your willpower will not be your deliverer. You setting up your mind, well, I'm never going to drink again. I'm never going to smoke again. You're trying, and all that willpower is no match for the sin around you. It isn't. What is a game breaker, a game changer, is abiding in Jesus, abiding in his word, abiding in prayer, fellowship, relationship, community with God, and abiding in the local church. Those three things are a game changer in your life and can bring transformation and breakthrough to you. Let me just tell you, it's like this. Some people, and I'm telling you, churches, we are so bad at this. We always want to treat the behaviors. We want to treat the symptoms. We're like, you better stop cussing. You better stop smoking. You better stop drinking. And then we create converts that live like they're fragile, right? And they're all Monday, oh, I got to stop cussing. I got to stop drinking. I got to stop. I got it. And they're focused on stopping the behavior. It's like trimming the leaves and expecting the tree to die. Listen, you're the behaviors, the sin, all that, that's just the manifestation of what's happening in the heart. You've got to deal with what's right here, not on the outside. And what you have is not a sin problem, you have a source problem. You are not connected to the true vine, the true source. So here's what, let me just break this down for you. Instead of y'all wandering around Monday through Saturday being like, okay, I cannot do this. I cannot do that. I better not, stop. Instead of that, why don't you just stop focusing on the sin. Stop focusing on the sin and start focusing on Jesus. Because the more you focus on him, the closer you get to him, the more you become like him. And the more you become like him, the things in your life begin to change. In him, the old things, the former things are passed away, and in him, all things are made new. Is that the word? I just wish somebody knew, somebody knows what I'm talking about. I'm convinced that if we would focus on Jesus and drawing as close to him as we can, everything in your life would change. You can't be connected to Jesus and not be fruitful. You can't. Jesus said, if you abide in me, my word abides in you, you will be not just fruitful, but very fruitful. Anytime Jesus says very, he means it, all right? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, because we're talking about all this fruit and stuff, and some of you are still like, okay, what does that mean? Fruit, be fruitful, that's abstract, I don't get it. Okay, look, if you take notes, if you, whatever you do, like you should write this verse down. You should memorize it. Write it on the mirror, your forehead. I don't know. Just you should never forget this verse. Galatians 5:22. Because this is the fruit that I'm talking about. The Bible says, by the way, that you'll know a man by his fruit. You won't know a man by his words, because talk is cheap. People say, oh yeah, I love God. I love Jesus. I love you. Talk is cheap. You'll know a person by their fruit, the fruit that they bear. What fruit am I talking about? Glad you asked. Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. These are the fruits of the Spirit. They cannot be manufactured. They cannot be faked. You can try to fake it. You can fake nice. You can fake peace. You can fake it for a little while and fool a few people, but it will never be a lasting peace. It'll never be a lasting self-control. It'll never be a lasting kindness. Because who produces it? Galatians 5 says, you don't produce it. It's not you trying hard. It's not you focusing on being a better person. It says the Holy Spirit produces these fruits in the lives of those who are abiding in his word, in fellowship, and in the church. That's where the fruit comes from. And it is not you who try harder to produce it. He produces it through you. All right, so we need to be fruitful people. And by the way, the fruit of the Spirit, a tree does not produce fruit for its own consumption. A tree produces fruit for those who are in close proximity. You ever seen an apple tree eat its own fruit? If you do, you should catch that on Instagram or something, because that would be worth a lot. But anyway, of course not. God is not asking you to be fruitful so that you can be happier and better and just like, it's great. No, he's asking you to be fruitful because there's a world that is lost, severed from the vine, that is desperately looking for hope. And if they don't see it in you, they may not see it anywhere else. And before people care how much Bible knowledge you know and how tight with Jesus you are, they want to see, is there love in you? Is there peace in you? Is there kindness in you? Is there goodness flowing from your life? Because you can say, I love Jesus, but with your life, tell a different story, and that's turning the world off. It's because we're not abiding in him. He's not the priority of our life. He's not the purpose of our life. He's just an accessory. We add him on there. Oh yeah, God, bless my plans. Bless my career. Bless what I've already created. Get me to heaven now. You're going to do that, right? We treat him like an add-on to our life. But friends, he's no add-on. He's the source. He's the giver. He's the purpose. And the highest form of the human existence is found in knowing Jesus in your life. If you're thankful, I just wish you'd praise him like you believe it. Hallelujah. That was all point one. Don't worry, you will beat the Baptist to the steakhouse. I promise you will. The number one hazard, just to recap it, although I've talked about it for 20 minutes now, is beware of barrenness. Beware of barren branches. Make sure that you're connected to the source, because if you are barren, if you ever get disconnected from the source, you are definitely in position for a fall. Know that. Number two, there's only three, so don't get nervous. The number two thing you need to be aware of in the woods, I'm not even making this up, this is a real point. Beware of the suckers. I'm not even kidding. Listen, I'm not even making this up. This is a real thing. There is, in forestry, there is a term called a sucker, all right? And it is a small sapling that grows near the base or the trunk of a tree. And it is a low-lying, parasitic organism that robs the tree of its nutrients. I'm serious. It's called a sucker, all right? And there's like a bunch of them, and they like cluster up together, and they're like little saplings that grow at the base of the tree, and they literally rob the tree of its nutrients. And as I was describing that, some of you were thinking of somebody in your mind. It's like, that's a sucker. I need to be aware of them. But in life, there are a lot of suckers, all right? There really are. Social media is an epic sucker, all right? It sucks. Don't send me an email. It's part of the sermon. What I'm saying is that social media is a time drain. It steals your joy. It robs you of your fruitfulness. Because with every scroll, you're hating your life more. With every scroll, you're like, why am I not at the beach? Why do I not have that car? Why do I not have that much? Seriously, social media is there. It's a low-lying, parasitic thing, organism, that is stealing your joy, stealing your life. And listen, I'm not preaching against all those things. Our church is on Facebook. Our church is on Instagram. And if you don't follow us, you should. There's a plug. But what I'm trying to say, all of these things in moderation are okay. But moderation is the highlighted, bold, and double underlined word. Because when we allow social media to control us, now we're living our life through that lens. It's slowly robbing us of our joy, slowly robbing us of our peace. Some of y'all that maybe don't have, you know, all the social media apps, maybe you sit in front of the news all day, right? And that can be a low-lying parasitic organism that is stealing your peace. You just watch it wave after wave after wave. And every 10 minutes, they say the same exact thing over again. You just get a little more depressed with each wave. Life is full of things that are here to suck the life and the joy and the peace and the fruitfulness from you. Some of you are in negative relationships. you're dating somebody and you know they're not right for you. They're not even a believer. They don't even follow Jesus, but oh, they look good, so I'm gonna keep on with it. And it's draining you. It's robbing you of your peace. It's alerting your convictions, but you stay with it anyway. Toxic relationships where people are negative to you, always cutting you down, always belittling you, always doubting you, always tearing you down. These are suckers, all right? The little saplings. Some of y'all are surrounded by haters and critics, and they say one thing to you, but in your mind, you replay their negativity over and over and over and over again, so much so that you believe it. And it's robbing you of your joy and your purpose. We've got to disconnect, sever ourselves from the things that are sucking the life and the joy out of us. Habits, addictions, they cost way more than you could ever imagine. These drug addictions, these perversions, these things that we get wrapped up into, they start so small and seemingly insignificant that we hardly even notice them or are guilty by them. But then they eventually grab and they grab the nutrients in our joy and they grow up to choke the life out of us. Jesus warned of this. They take all of your money. They take all of your time. You can't even be the father, the mother that you want to be to your children because you're consumed by an addiction that is ravaging your life. All of these things are here to rob us of our purpose. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gave this warning. Let's throw it on the screen really fast. I want to show you this. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 24. Here's another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, the enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat and then slipped away. You know what Satan wants to do in your life? He doesn't want to do what you think he wants to do. He's not going to show up and announce that he's here and try to destroy everything. No, what he wants to do is he wants to sow some tares in and amongst the wheat. He wants to gradually, silently, slowly rob you of your joy, rob you of your peace, rob you of your identity, draining the joy from your life. One thing, one distraction at a time. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when life takes that from us, we become weak. Let me remind you really quickly that your freedom from the things that suck and drain the life out of you will not be obtained by your own self-denial and your own will, although you should be an active participant in your deliverance. The Bible says in John 15:2 that the gardener, God, is the vine dresser, and he is the one who cuts away the branches that do not bear fruit. He's the one that will set you free. In Jesus, we find freedom, and in him alone. Third and final point this morning, that you get an amen. Beware of the woods. Number three, beware of the water spouts. Beware of the water sprouts is what they are. Now, again, that's another weird term in forestry, but here's what it is. It's a small vertical limb that grows off of the existing branch, but is not connected to the source. It lives off of the branch. Sounds very similar to the sucker, but it's a little bit different. A water sprout is not from the ground. It branches off from the very branch itself, and it appears to give life. It appears to be fruitful, but actually its source is the branch, not the vine. And there are people who are in the church, but not of the church. There are people who are living off of somebody else's passion. People living off somebody else's faith. Well, I'm a Christian because grandma was, grandpa was, my wife is. I'm interested in this girl, so I'm going to go to church and check that out. If you allow your source to be anything besides him, if you have a motivation for doing this Christian thing, and it's anything but knowing him, you might just be a water sprout. Sucking the life and the passion out of other people around you with no real connectivity of your own. I want to read you the scariest passage in the Bible in closing. Never a good way to end a sermon, but this is how we're ending it today. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. I'm going to read to you, I'm serious. This is the scariest, to me, this is the most frightening passage in all of the Bible, hands down. And I believe it describes a water sprout. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils and done great, wonderful works in your name? And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. That's one of the scariest and most profound passages in all of the Bible, but this morning it will do us really good to look deeply into it. These people, this story is taking place in heaven before the judgment seat of God. And these men stand before God and they plead their case. They say, but we prophesied in your name. In other words, we preached the gospel. We prayed for the sick and they were healed. We prayed for the demonic oppressed and they were delivered. God, we did your ministry. We did the works of God. We went to church. We sang the songs. We gave to the church. And he says to them, depart from me, you who work iniquity, for I never knew you. In other words, there's a profound reality in this passage. God is not concerned about the things you do so much as he's concerned about your relationship with him. If you know Jesus, you have all that you'll ever need. If you abide in him, he is the Prince of Peace. He is the wonderful counselor. He is the friend that sticks closer than any brother. He is our Messiah, our refuge, our friend, our provider. If you have Jesus, you have all that you'll ever need. But if you do the works and you put up the religious facade and you go through the motions, but you never know him, you are in danger of being eternally separated. Beware of the woods. Beware of the lack of fruitfulness. Beware of the lack of connectivity in your life. But here's the good news as I wrap this sermon up. The Bible gives an amazing promise. It says that anyone who would seek me, you shall surely find me. If you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. It says, I will draw near to those who draw near to me. And if you knock on the door, it will be opened. In other words, all these metaphors, all these fancy, eloquent passages, they're basically saying to you, if you really want me, you can really have me. If you want to know me, I'll show you my glory. If you want a friendship, I'll be that friend that sticks closer than any brother. And while everybody else looks at your life and judges you and labels you and doesn't understand you, I am the God who always sees. I am the God who always perceives. I've been with you in every circumstance of your life, and I've been waiting for this moment where you would turn from the world and you would turn to me. If you'd be connected to me, you will be fruitful. You will be saved. You will be a blessing to those who are around you, and that is the main event of your life. It's the highest form of the human existence. If you're in this room today and you're ready to say, I need to be connected to the source, I'm going to ask you to do something bold. I'm going to ask you to stand up in the middle of this room from your seat. And by standing, you are saying, I want to be connected to the source. I want to be a friend of God. I want to know you, Jesus. If that's you, I want you to stand up to your feet all over this place. And I will not beg you. I'm not going to plead with you. But if that's you, I want to invite you to do that right now. With everybody's eye open and everybody looking around. Can we give the Lord praise for this? Stay standing. Those of you who are standing. I want to pray this prayer with you. Father, as we stand in this room today, we declare our love for you. Father, we're sinners who have fallen short of your glory. Forgive us, have mercy upon us. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, the Messiah of humanity. And Father, today we want to be connected to you. We want to abide in you. We want to be fruitful. We want to be known by you and make you known in the world. Help us to be fruitful and abide in you all the days of our life. And we confess you, Jesus, as our Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Why don't y'all give the Lord praise? And let's all stand to our feet all over this place. And let's worship him. And let's bless his name this morning.